Matthew chapter 5, verse 17 through verse 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. This is the word of God. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We see in your word your Son, Jesus Christ. And our eternal salvation that our Lord has accomplished for us. As we hear your word, let us see clearly. And let us meet your Son, Jesus Christ, and have that heavenly fellowship with him. Oh Father, let us see once again how much you love us as we see what your Son has done for us. We thank you, God, and we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. The law, the prophets, what are they referring to? Well, let us go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. This is after the resurrection, Jesus met his disciples on the road to Emmaus. And 27 says, then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And if you go to verse 44, now he said to them, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So the phrase the law and the prophets, broadly they refer to the whole Old Testament. Narrowly, they refer to the law of the Old Testament. And Jesus says that he did not come to abolish the law or the prophets. But he says that he came to fulfill the law. He came to fulfill the Old Testament. Verse 18 says, "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." Here, Jesus Christ is teaching us the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament. On the one hand, there is continuity between the two. Thus, ignoring the Old Testament is not Christian. But we must remember that there is also the discontinuity between the Old Testament and the New Testament. The New Testament is the story of Jesus Christ fulfilling the Old Testament. We who live in the New Testament must not live our lives as if we live in the Old Testament, or as if nothing of the Old Testament has been perfectly fulfilled, or as if the heaven that was promised has not begun in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came and completely and perfectly fulfilled everything. He accomplished all things. He says, "I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." He did not come just to confirm the law, but to completely and perfectly fulfill the law. And today, we're going to answer this question: what it means to fulfill the law. He said he came to fulfill the law. So what does he mean? We are able to answer that question in at least three ways. So we're going to look at this phrase, fulfilling the law, in three ways. First, fulfilling the law. It means to perfectly explaining the law, completely and perfectly revealing the will of God. So when he came to fulfill the law, he came to completely and perfectly reveal the will of God, perfectly explaining the law. Jesus Christ has completely and perfectly revealed the will of God. Now, even from the very beginning, the will of God does not change. But that unchanging will of God has been revealed to his people in different times, in different ways. But that will of God is always the same, never changes. That unchanging will of God has been revealed to Adam in a command: from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. But that command can be put in a positive form, and we could say that is the same thing as, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. Adam, before sin, He knew exactly what it means to eat that fruit. God has said, "For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die." And Adam, before sin, he perfectly understood what it means to die. He knew exactly what would happen when he ate that fruit. He'd be cut off from God. So eating that fruit was the act to reject God himself, to forsake God. By eating, he says to God, "I don't need you, I don't love you." He rejects him because he knew exactly what would happen when he ate that fruit. He didn't care. See, if you think about it, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. How does that command relate to us today? There's no tree, and the fruit they were forbidden to go to or eat of today. But like I said before, if we understand the will of God that is behind that command, we could change that command into positive form. It says to love God with everything you have. But that will of God has revealed to Adam in that command. That same will of God was revealed to Moses in the law. The moral law is summarily comprehended in the Ten Commandments. So to Moses, the same will of God was revealed in the law that God has given to Moses. Now, Jesus summarizes the Ten Commandments this way. Go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22, verse 37. Well, if I read from verse 36, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophet." There you go, that phrase, the law and the prophet. So if you summarize the whole law and the prophet, then you have these two commandments. Well, actually, we could even summarize that as one. It's to love God. It's loving God and loving neighbors. Just like the commandment that was given to Adam. The will of God that was behind that command is the same will of God that was behind the whole law and the prophets. And in the New Testament, Jesus Christ now comes and reveals perfectly and completely the same will of God. He himself is the complete and perfect revelation of the will of God. Loving God and loving neighbors. And by his life, he fulfilled the law. We said that we're going to look at that in three ways. First way, in this sense, he completely, perfectly revealed the law of God, explained the law of God. Jesus gives the new commandment. John 13:34, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. So Jesus, in this sense, fulfills the law. He himself is the perfect, complete revelation of the will of God. Now the second meaning that he fulfills the law and the prophets, it means that he fulfills every type and shadow of the Old Testament. And he fulfills all the Old Testament's and the law's prophecies. Old Testament is the shadows and types. And they were all pointing to the real thing, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. We have many examples we could go to. For example, the temple was a type. Jesus is the anti-type. He's the real thing, the true temple. But Old Testament temple was a shadow. It was a type that pointing to the real temple. So in that sense, Jesus, the true temple, comes and fulfills the type of the Old Testament temple. Sacrifices. All those animal sacrifices that you read about in the Old Testament, they were all type, shadow, pointing to the true sacrifice, the once and for all perfect sacrifice that our Jesus Christ, our Lord, offers to God. So Jesus fulfills all the sacrifices that you see in the Old Testament. And because he fulfills it, there is no more sacrifices after that perfect sacrifice. All the kings you see in the Old Testament, they were type of Jesus Christ, who is the true king. And after Jesus, we don't have any more type kings, because the real thing has come. So he came to fulfill all the kings of the Old Testament. Prophets, they were all type of the true prophet, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ fulfills all the prophets of the Old Testament. All the priests, the same way. Jesus is the true priest. All of the festivals, the special days in the Old Testament, they were all types, pointing to Jesus Christ, the real thing. Israel was a type pointing to the true Israel, which is church. The promised land is a type pointing to the true promised land, heaven, which you belong to. Old Testament Exodus was a type of true Exodus. Exodus from this world and sin and Satan. So when we say Jesus fulfills the law and the prophets, we also mean this way, that he comes fulfilling every types and shadows. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2 verse 16. Therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day. The Saturday Sabbath day. 17. Things which are a mere shadow of what is to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Those two verses summarizes what we're saying here. All those Old Testament special days and festivals and those law about what to eat, what not to eat, what to drink. All those were shadows of what is to come. Jesus Christ comes and fulfills all of them. So yes, he did not come to abolish. He came to fulfill. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9. I'm going to read from the second sentence. Accordingly, both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make the worshiper perfect in conscience, since they relate only to food and drink and various washings, regulations, for the body imposed until a time of reformation. Go to chapter 10, verse 1. For the law, since it has only a shadow of the good things to come and not the very form of things, can never, by the same sacrifices which they offer continually year by year, make perfect those who draw near. All those sacrifices in the Old Testament, it was types and shadows. That is why they could only cleanse outwardly. So Old Testament sacrifices were not perfect. And they were for outwardly cleansing only. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. If Old Testament, those blood of animals can cleanse you outwardly, then how much more the blood of Christ, the perfect blood, is able to even cleanse your conscience. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 3. Well, for the background, let me read from verse 1. Then some Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." Now, they're not talking about, you know, disciples, their hands were like physically dirty. No, they're talking about ritual. Even though your hands are very clean, you still have to wash for ritual's sake. And Jesus says, verse 3, "And he answered and said to them, 'Why do you yourself transgress the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?'" Go to verse 10. "After Jesus called the crowd to him and he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what enters into the mouth that defiles a man, but what proceeds out of mouth, this defiles the man.'" Go down to verse 16. Jesus said, "Are you still lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, and false witness, slanders. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man." See, these people thought that just by washing, just by these rituals, that they are now clean before God. They didn't understand those were just shadows and types. They don't actually make you clean before God. They were types that pointing to what Christ will accomplish, what he does, that actually cleans a man. The law could not cleanse the heart. Law could not change the heart. Galatians chapter 4. Here, Paul contrasts the Old Testament and the New Testament. Chapter 4 says, verse 1, "Now I say, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he is owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by the father." We did look at this one Friday Bible study. Let's say a master has a child. He's heir of all things. He's the owner of all things, because when that child grows up, he will have that business. But until the date that's set by the father, that child is just like a slave. He has to learn from these people who are slave to the master, his father. But when that day comes, when father says, "Okay, now you're 25 or something, now on, you take care of my business," then he is the master. And the child will grow up to be that master, but when his child, he's treated just like a slave. Verse 3, so also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. So Old Testament is like that. Old Testament is like when we are like a child. But until the date set by the Father, our Heavenly Father also set a date for us. And verse 4, but when the fullness of the time came, that date has come. God sent for His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. So now, that time, so that this child will be now treated as an adult, has come. He's no longer a child, but His Son. That is the relationship between the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God is treating you as a child. But now He treats you as an adult. So when I have son too, and I don't like to do this, but I don't have any other examples. When your father, when you're disciplining, when you're raising up your child, when that child is a child, you discipline as a child. You don't really explaining things. You discipline them. So that this child, because he is fearing you, because he knows what he's going to get when he does something wrong, this child in fear obeys you. That's like the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, if you break a law, God will kill you, stone you, discipline you in that way, so that people see that, and it's so true. All your parents who have many children, you know what I'm talking about. When you discipline one child, the other child, they're automatically disciplined. So in the Old Testament, that's how God treated His people, as children. So if you break Sabbath, what happens? You're stoned. And the people, because they're fearful, they obey. But see, it's only outwardly. Just like child will obey father, because if he doesn't, then he will get hit. He doesn't understand sometimes why, but he will still obey the father, because otherwise he will get hit. So it is not about the heart. It's just you obey outwardly only. But as that child grows up, then, of course, he understands things and his love for the father grows, and now he will do it with his heart. But when that happens, you have to say, hey, this guy grew up. He's no longer a child. And that's redemptive history. Redemptive historically, that's what happened. Jesus came. And now, children of God have grown. Now God treats His children as an adult. That's the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. All these laws that was given to Moses, we see how God is treating His children, as a child. But not anymore. That's why in the Old Testament, if you break Sabbath, We don't kill you. Those days are gone. Because what God wants from you now is that you behave like an adult. That you will obey Him with your heart. Understand what is going on. So, Old Testament is about all that. It's about they obey God because of fear, because of guilt, because of greed. But to those people, God promised, even from the very beginning, God promised to give His people the new heart. His people with new heart is now sons, adult sons. Go to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36, I'll read from verse 24. For I will take you from the nations, gather you from all the lands and bring you into your own land. He's talking about the new covenant. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you and give you will be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, soft heart. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will be careful to observe my ordinances. You will live in the land that I gave to your forefathers. So you will be my people and I will be your God. Yes, it is written in terms of the Old Testament language, but you understand what God is promising in the New Covenant. He will give you heart. Now, one more verse. Go to Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. So he's talking about the new covenant. And he says, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, two things. You combine this Jeremiah with Ezekiel. What is he going to do? In this new covenant, He's going to give you a new heart and He will write His law on your heart. That's the day when God's children become adult. No longer a child. Because to child, God gave the law written on a stone tablet. But no longer, when his child grows up in Jesus Christ, he writes his law on their hearts. That's why we read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, cared for by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Paul describes this new covenant, new ministry. Something has changed. God's child grew up in Jesus Christ. Now he's an adult. So brothers and sisters, when you see your church no longer stoning someone for breaking the law, you should be joyous because now God is treating you as an adult. Man, that's what I hear from all these children. They want to grow up so fast. Oh, my mom and my dad, they don't treat me as an adult. Well, redemptive historically, now God is treating you, His people, as an adult. Do you see it? God gave us the new heart. Now through the gospel then, no longer stoning somebody so that because they're fearful they obey. No longer. But now He preaches the gospel. He gives you Jesus Christ. And He shows you what He has done in Jesus Christ. So that not because of fear, not because of greed, not because of guilt, but because you see what God has done, you see His love so that your heart, this new heart that He gave you, will move. Move to love God. So that you may obey. Not because of fear, but because of love. God, Jesus Christ has accomplished that. In that sense, also, He fulfilled it. He fulfilled the law. Understand what the ministry of this new covenant, the ministry of the church is all about. It is now moving your heart. And only way that your heart be truly moved is that when you see Jesus Christ and what He has done for you. If you don't see it, then your heart is heart of stone. You want it. God to treat you as a child again. Because you with that heart, stone heart, if God stones somebody, if God kills you right in front of you because that person breaks the law, you, out of fear, you will obey. But God does not want that anymore. He does not. He doesn't want that anymore. He wants you to obey Him with your heart. Boy, some of our hearts are so cold and so hard. And I pray that you will see Jesus Christ and how much He loves you. So that cold and hard heart will be softened. Because you do not want God to treat you like a child. But so many churchgoers, that's what they want. They will never learn. It's like a parent who tries to treat you as an adult. So that parent explain things, you know, why this has to be a certain way. That parent starting to explain and show with love what has to be. But that child just stubborn, doesn't want to grow up. So what does father do? He goes back to the Old Testament. He just has to hit you. Because that's only way you show that you will understand. That you will move to obey. Don't treat God like that, brothers and sisters. Don't force God to go back to Old Testament. He will never do that, but don't try. With your heart, obey. See how much God has done for you and loved you. And obey. Because I believe me, brothers and sisters, you don't want God to do what He did in the Old Testament. He will not. He will not do that, but so many so-called God's children, they just don't want to grow up. They do not understand that the New Testament has begun. They still want to live in the Old Testament. Why? So in this sense, God, Jesus Christ fulfilled the law. And the third way, and most obvious way that you already know, that He fulfilled the law, meaning that He obeyed perfectly and completely all the laws of God for us in our places. Yes, in this sense, Jesus fulfilled the law. We could see it, right? The fulfillment of the law is what? Loving God and loving neighbor. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done. He loved His Father with all He had. And He loved His neighbor, you and me. He gave His life for you, His neighbor. He loved His neighbor. Does He fulfill the law? Thus now, in the New Testament, the law of God comes to us through Jesus Christ. The law of God, the Old Testament, comes to us through Jesus' fulfillment of it for us. Otherwise, the law of God, when it comes to us, apart from Christ, it will kill us. If Jesus did not come, then we're still living in the Old Testament. And the law is not fulfilled. Then your obedience will be characterized as outwardly. Of course, in the Old Testament, the true believers believe with heart, their heart, that they were given the new heart already. But we're talking about in redemptive, historical way, not personal salvation way. There's difference in the times that we live. Let me just conclude then. Now, we kind of, maybe not clearly to some of you, but we talked about what this God, Jesus fulfilling the law means. Well, if that is so, then, is this mean that we are now free to sin? Does this mean that we're just, because God fulfilled the law for us, that we're just free to sin? No. And verse 19. Whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. The righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, the outwardly obedience, the outwardly obedience. If you do not surpass that, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And only way that we could surpass that is only in Jesus Christ. That we're given the new heart And the law of God is written in our heart. And whoever is like that, he surpasses the righteousness of scribes and Pharisees, because now obedience is about the heart, not outwardly, not faking it. Brothers and sisters, you and I, we are invited to participate in Jesus' fulfillment. He perfectly fulfilled it for us, and He now fulfills it in us, so that you and I too fulfill the law of God in Jesus Christ. Do you understand what kind of life that you're living now? Do you know that your life is fulfilling the law of God perfectly in Jesus Christ? That not only Jesus fulfilled it perfectly, that you now is able to fulfill the law of God. All of it. Perfectly in Jesus Christ. That's what your life is all about. When you trust Christ, when you believe in Him. Even as you break these laws day after day, but spiritually, God receive you as the one who fulfills the law completely and perfectly in Jesus Christ. That's what your life is all about now. We fulfill the law of God perfectly. Here in Jesus Christ and in heaven, we fulfill the law of God perfectly. Ourselves. Because we will be like Christ in heaven. If you don't get anything today, just get this. You sinners, me too, we fulfill the law of God in Jesus Christ. As we live every day, we fulfill the law of God in Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 5, two more verses. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Did you hear that? The whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2, bear one another's burden and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. In Jesus Christ, you and I, we love. We love one another, and we live the life of the fulfillment of the law of God. That's what our life is all about. We imitate God in love, thus in Him we too fulfill the law of God. The whole law, the will of God is completely fulfilled in you because of Christ. Do you understand what kind of of salvation has come to you? Do you know who you are? Do you know what kind of person you are? You fulfill the will of God perfectly and completely in Christ. Do you see yourself as that? I don't know, man. This is just so amazing that I am able to say this to you. Boy, I fulfill the will of God perfectly. And that is what Jesus has accomplished for me. And we must move our hearts. Well, even that God has to do it for us. But we must witness that reality. We must witness who we are. We must witness that we are the ones who fulfill the will of God perfectly. If we are to witness that, do I need to tell you what kind of life do you need to live? We must obey. Obey God. Even if it means death, we must obey. Because that's who we are. We fulfill the will of God. This is what we are in Christ. Never forget that. Believe. As you go out that door, you tell yourself, yes, I fulfill the will of God in Christ. And that's the kind of life that I will live forever in heaven. In heaven, it's all about fulfilling the will of God perfectly. But that life has begun already. Unless you're not Christian, that life has begun already. Live it. Enjoy. Enjoy and be like Christ. Stop complaining. When He had to die for you, He did not complain. Not even a word. Man, we're just so selfish and so hard. I don't want to. And at that note, please understand what kind of people that God has made us to be. And He treats you as His son, adult son. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what You have done for us in Jesus Christ. He fulfilled Your will completely. And in Him we too fulfill Your will completely and perfectly. We thank You. And we praise You and give You all the glory. In His name we pray. Amen.